It's good to have all these guys in here and all these gals. How many children are here from the age of 12 and down? Raise your hand, please. Kids, would you? All right, Brother Sandberry had his hand up before I got the words out of my mouth, okay? Sandy said he acts like a 12-year-old sometimes, doesn't he? All right. Yeah, real good and high, if you would. All the kids, 12 and under. Good crowd here tonight, okay? Good deal. And Brother Greg, man, it's so good to see you. All right. Some of you folks know Brother Greg and his family, the Griffiths, and they were here several years ago, got transferred with a job, and man, the good news is they're back now. They're back in our area. So let's give them a hand. Amen. So good to see you, brother. Sure is. And grateful for how that's all worked out in your life. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to do something a little different tonight with our story time. So I hope, boys and girls, you know this story. It's one of my favorites in the Word of God. And you'll recognize it just right out of the gate, I believe. But we're going to start right here with this picture. And I'd like to ask the boys and girls to respond, if they would. Just raise your hand. Let me just point to you and let you speak up that way rather than everybody trying to speak at the same time. But does anybody have any idea what Bible character this might be? And I know that's a wide open question, but can you gather anything just from the picture? Who might that be? Aaron? Oh, my goodness, man, you got it right off the bat, okay? He's got it. Way to go, Aaron. All right, good job. Yeah, it's that man named Zacchaeus. All right, you remember the story about Zacchaeus, right? And we are going to look in our Bibles in just a moment here, just a little bit. But what do we know? Help me out here for just a few minutes now. What do we know about this man named Zacchaeus? Give me just one thing. Boys and girls, can you get us started? And if we need to, we'll go to the big people and see if they know the answers. All right. One thing about Zacchaeus. Does anybody remember one thing? Aaron, you got us started. Give me one detail about Zacchaeus. He was what? Bald?
Small.
Oh, I thought, man, that's a new one. I hadn't heard that before. Yeah, he was a short guy, wasn't he? He was a small guy. All right, so we definitely know that about Zacchaeus. Yep. All right, anything else that we know about him, boys and girls? About this man named Zacchaeus. Heard about him all my life, haven't you? Most of you folks have been saved, right, for a long time. Grew up in church. You heard that story. And you know the song, too, don't you, right? About Zacchaeus, the wee little man. Yes, over here. One detail, please, about the man named Zacchaeus. Yes, ma'am. Oh, that's another important detail. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. Way to go. Fantastic. All right, good. Another detail about this man named Zacchaeus? Oh, my goodness. Man, you guys are telling my story, okay? Before I even get to it, you know it so well. He did. Jesus told him that. And we're going to look at that, too, in just a minute. Thank you. All right, good job. Anything else about this man named Zacchaeus? Well, let me ask you a question. Maybe it'll help us a little bit more. Thank you for those answers you gave me already. What was his nationality? He was Jewish, wasn't he? He was a Jew, all right? And another question, what kind of work did he do? Can anyone tell me, what kind of work did Zacchaeus do? He did work hard. You're right about that. He did. Yes. All right. Aaron? Yeah, and the Bible word for that is what? Publican, right? No, not Republican, but publican. Yeah, he was a tax collector. Thank you, Aaron. All right. Now, for whom, these are all important details, by the way, for whom did he collect taxes, boys and girls? Anyone here? For whom did he collect taxes? Yes, he was a tax collector, a publican. But who did he collect those taxes for? All right, how about among you big people? Raise your hand and give me an answer. Big people, come on now. For whom did he collect taxes? For Rome. Yes, for Rome. So, you think about that for just a moment now. He's a Jew working for their oppressors that are keeping them with a thumb down, treating them so badly, but he's working for them. He's collecting taxes for them. And who is he collecting taxes from? His fellow Jews, right? Now, can you already kind of figure out what's going to happen here? What his life was like, okay? All right, we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. As a matter of fact, he wasn't just a publican. The Bible says, we'll read in just a moment, that he was the chief publican. And that's almost like One commentator said he was like the district manager. He was over a lot of publicans. He wasn't just a normal publican. He was a chief publican, all right, in charge of some other guys that were doing the same thing. Now, question, boys and girls, help me out with this. In light of what we've just heard already, he's a Jew and he's working for the Roman government. How do you think his fellow Jews felt about him? What do you think they thought about him? Boys and girls? What? Fantastic. That's exactly right. They consider those guys traitors. Okay, you have sold yourself out to work for our enemy, the Roman government. You're no longer one of us. You're a traitor. Yeah. So they despised, the average Jew despised tax collectors. They hated them with a passion. They had nothing to do with them because of how they were serving their oppressors. Now, he was a very rich man, the Bible says, and we'll kind of figure out maybe a little bit why in just a minute. He was rich. But another detail was he did not know Jesus. He had never met Jesus. Never had met him. Now, how did he get rich? Well, it could have been this way. They had a reputation for doing this type of thing. Okay, so let me just pretend here for just a second. Let's say this is the government bag right here. This is the Roman bag. This is where I'm going to be a publican here for just a few minutes, okay? I'm going to be a tax collector. And this is where I put my money when I collect it from you Jews, okay? So I need someone that will be a Jew. Let's see, matter of fact, I've got a roster, a tax roster here, a tax report. Is Hunter Freeze present? Hunter Freeze, would you come up, please, Hunter? Okay, come on up, buddy, if you would. Now, I'm a tax collector, and he's an everyday Jew. And I'm calling you Hunter. Let's see, Hunter Freeze. Am I correct in the name?
Mm-hmm.
111 Boynton Boulevard, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. You owe in taxes $40. Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you for, now hold on just a second, okay? All right, where's my money bag for the Roman government? Here we go, okay? Here it is, all right? I've got to report this money, and they'll get me if I don't turn it in, okay? So, all right. Now, I just cheated you. I hate to tell you that, but I think I'm better tonight for this illustration. Look at this tax report right here. And what does it say you owe in taxes?
20.
How much?
20.
And how much did you give me?
40.
Now, something doesn't add up there. I wonder where that other $20 went.
Put it in your pocket.
Thank you, Hunter, very much. Okay, you're good job, buddy. Give him a hand. All right, I appreciate that. You're exactly right. And they were notorious for cheating their fellow Jews. And we can understand why they were so despised by the average person. Okay? Now, in this picture that we have up on the screen, we're assuming that all these people that are crowded around are Jews, right? And Zacchaeus is in the back, boys and girls. And as Aaron pointed out, he was a very small man. Very short man. And the news about Jesus and all the things he was doing was spreading everywhere. People would hear the name Jesus, and people had never met him, just like Zacchaeus. And so they were eager to see, well, who is this man? Who is this man that so many people are talking about in this? Supposed to have this power that he has to heal people and do different things. Well, that was the situation right here in this first slide we have, this first picture. I want to ask you a question, boys and girls. In light of what we've already talked about tonight, Zacchaeus is small, the crowd's taller than him, and he's trying to get up there where he can see. Do you think his fellow Jews were helping him to get up there where he could see Jesus? I don't think so either, because they were kind of like saying, man, okay, we're not going to help you. The way you treat us, the way you cheat us, the way you rob us, okay, and you're working for our enemies, there's no way we're going to let you squeeze through here. No, you just stay back there. You just stay back there. So that was the dilemma that Zacchaeus found himself in, all right? If you have your Bibles, let's read the passage, even though we know it so well. Go to Luke chapter 19, if you would. Luke 19. What a precious passage of Scripture this is. Luke chapter 19. Got it there already? And I'm going to begin reading, if you'll follow along with me, in your Bible at verse 1. And we're going to read the first 10 verses, okay? Luke 19, 1 through 10. All right, boys and girls, here we go. Here's the story. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and like we've already heard, he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Now listen very carefully. Jesus looked up and saw him. He saw Zacchaeus. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. And boy, what about this verse here? Precious. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus says concerning himself, I came for this reason, to seek unsaved people and to bring them into relationship with myself. All right? And I love that. That's just a good word for us still today, isn't it? Really is. All right. Now, we've been trying to work with our little remote here to see if I can get it to work right. And if it doesn't, Mr. Ryan's ready to help me back there. And I think I'm going to have to call on him to do that right now, okay? If you would, please, Ryan. Okay. Or Miss Laurie. All right. I think you can just hit the bar. I think we'll do it. If you just tap the bar, I believe we'll be able to do that. All right, technical difficulty here. Let's see. All right, we were having just a little bit of trouble earlier. Let me just manually advance it here. I'll show you, okay? Lori. Hi. Oh, it's not? Oh, I see. All right, something did happen there. Okay. All right, sorry about that, folks. There is a glitch. It was working fine there earlier, but it's not now. Okay, here we go. Let's see if we can do this without those slides. I believe we can. All right. You said a moment ago, what did Zacchaeus do in order to be able to see? He ran and he climbed a sycamore tree. Isn't it something how trees just call out to be climbed? And it seems like, especially with little boys. I mean, we saw that at the park, right? Hope in the Park. I saw that with little guys. Went on a camping trip with some of the men last weekend, and there was a tree, and it was just calling out, climb me, climb me. And one of our guys was eager to do that. Well, Zacchaeus, he ran ahead, climbs up in the tree. Now, you got to use your imagination a little bit with me tonight, especially since we're not going to have the slides, all right? But please do this. Put your sanctified imagination cap on and just think with me for just a few moments about some things here. Zacchaeus is up in that tree, and here comes this crowd of people with Jesus, and they're all clamoring to get his attention, I'm sure, maybe reaching out to touch him. They're calling out his name, wanting to say something to him, all right? So lots going on, but I wonder, and this is imagination, I realize, but it could have very well happened this way. What do you think Zacchaeus was thinking when all this was transpiring? The Bible doesn't tell us, but what was he thinking? Well, first of all, just simply this. It's simple, and we're going to be through, and it's going to be short and sweet, okay? By the way, a long time ago, I told you guys, right, there's three statements you should never believe. One's when somebody says the check's in the mail. Right, Brother Sam? Check's in the mail. The second one is when somebody from the IRS says, we're here to help you. And the last one is when a Baptist preacher says, I'm going to be real brief tonight. You can't believe those three statements, all right? But anyhow, here we go. Okay, fantastic. There he is up in that tree. And let's go ahead and go to the next one, if you would. The crowd comes underneath the tree. Jesus is among them. And let's see what happens here. if we can get it. It's still not cooperating with us. All right? Well, the Bible says this. If you look back in your Bibles, please, at Luke 19, verse 5 says, "And when Jesus came to the place where the tree was, where Zacchaeus was, he looked up and saw him." Now, I possibly believe that, you know, it may have happened this way possibly. I believe that Zacchaeus made eye contact with Jesus, and Jesus made eye contact with him. And maybe the first thought to go through Zacchaeus' mind was, he sees me. Jesus, the one that everybody's been talking about, the one that everybody's trying to crowd in and see, he's famous, but he's looking at me. He sees me. And boys and girls, moms and dads, this is good for all of us. All right, just to always remember that the Lord sees us. As a matter of fact, it brings to my mind the story about Hagar in the wilderness, feeling like she had been abandoned because of how she had been treated and forced out of her home. She's in the wilderness with a precious young one and has no idea how it's going to all work out. And God appears to her, and she gives God a name. Thou, God, seest me. So, boys and girls, right now tonight, Jesus sees you. And I say that from a standpoint of encouragement, of comfort, the blessing that that is, that Jesus sees you. Whatever it is in your life that's going on, wherever you are in your journey, whatever you're dealing with, Jesus sees you. Man, that means so much to me. I think back in my childhood when some things happened in our family over which I had no control, and our family fell apart. But I do know this, and praise the Lord, this is like we sang tonight. All my life, he has been faithful. And even there as a child, the eyes of the Lord were upon me, a little boy. I know that. And the eyes of the Lord are upon you tonight, mom and dad, boys and girls. So maybe the first thought that crossed Zacchaeus' mind was, he sees me. He's looking right at me. And then he hears something. The Bible goes on and says, when Jesus looked up, he said, Zacchaeus. Whoa. I wonder if Zacchaeus said, he knows me. He knows me. I've never met him before. Jesus knows my name. And you see the application, I hope. All right. Hey, you know those people's names right there, all right? Oh, that's in the days of my goatee and my mustache, by the way, all right? I got rid of that just before he came to Virginia. I was afraid Pastor wouldn't let me work on staff here if I had that, so I shaved it all off. But he lets Chance do stuff on the platform, so I guess I could do something. All right. But look here. Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name. With all these people around him, Jesus still singled him out and called him by name. That had to catch Zacchaeus off guard. And I can't help but wonder if he thought, he knows me. That man that's so famous knows me. And again, brothers and sisters in Christ, even if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the Bible teaches us that Jesus knows your name. You know, there are over 8 billion people on planet Earth right now, over 8 billion. Do you know that Jesus knows the name of every individual? Yeah. Zacchaeus thought to himself, he knows me. And sometimes, I've had people tell me sometimes through the years, maybe just to reach out to give them a word of encouragement, maybe send a text or make a phone call or do something that you know, maybe meet a need in their life. And they say something like this. They say, it's just so good to know that somebody sees me and knows what's going on in my life. It's just encouraging to know that someone else knows. Well, Jesus knows our name. Zacchaeus thought that maybe. I think he could have very well. All right, and then a third thing. How about this? The Bible goes on and says this. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Now, what do you think went through Zacchaeus' head when he heard those words? Make haste and come down. He might have thought this. Wow. He not only sees me, he not only knows me, he wants me. He wants me. He's telling me to come down, to right now, make haste and come down. And you think about this. Was there anybody else in that crowd that wanted Zacchaeus? No. Oh, no. They despised him. They hated him. He was an outcast. He was a traitor. They had no place for him in their lives. But now Jesus is not only calling his name, Jesus is saying to him, make haste, come on, come to me right now. And again tonight, the application is simple. Whether you're here tonight and you know Christ as Savior or you don't, all right, Jesus wants you. Jesus wants you. You say, well, Tim, I'm a child of God, but boy, I'm really struggling. I'm having a tough time with some things. I've really failed the Lord. Hey, you know what? That doesn't change how much he wants you. His love is unconditional. We've heard it so many times. There's nothing I can do to make God love me anymore, and there's nothing I can do to make him love me any less. Did you hear that? His love is always the same. It will always be the same. I didn't earn it to be saved. I don't keep my salvation by earning it. Okay? It's purely his love. It's his grace. It's his mercy. Amen? But Zacchaeus might have thought, he wants me. Can you imagine what the people in the crowd maybe were thinking? What do you think crossed their minds when they heard Jesus say, Zacchaeus? Well, they might have thought, how's he know that guy? Of all the people, how does he know that? That guy works for the Roman government. Does Jesus know him? But then when Jesus says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, I wonder if they're thinking, okay, he's going to let Zacchaeus have it. He's going to let Zacchaeus have it. Zacchaeus is treating us bad, and he's going to correct him right here on the spot. He's going to call him out. But we know better. We know the rest of the story. Jesus was calling him down because he wanted him to be with him. He wanted him to know him. So maybe that crosses Zacchaeus' mind. He wants me. And then I'm going to suppose just a little bit more here with a conjecture. When Jesus said this, the Bible says, make haste and come down, for today I must abide. I must abide at your house. Now, that probably that shook everybody that is under the sound of his voice, including Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus knows who he is. He knows he's a traitor. He knows he's despised by all the people that are around him. He knows that they hate him. He knows that none of them care one thing about him at all and really wish that he wasn't there. And for him to hear Jesus, this miracle worker, to hear him say, Zacchaeus, I want you to come down right now because I'm going to go to your house. I'm going to abide at your house. I wonder maybe if Zacchaeus thought this. Don't know for sure, but I wonder if he thought, wow, not only does he see me, not only does he know my name, not only does he want me to come, but he must love me because he's going to do something right now that none of these people would ever think about doing. He's told me, I'm coming to your house today. I'm going to abide with you. And we know from the scripture that Zacchaeus came to know Jesus Christ on this day. We know that from scripture. You see, could we say it this way? And again, thank you for letting me have a little bit of imagination tonight, okay? But somebody said it this way, when you love somebody, you want to be with them. Do you agree? When you love somebody, you want to be with them. And then somebody said, Jesus sure must love us an awful lot because he promised he'd be with us forever. Matter of fact, he told his disciples, didn't he? I go to prepare a place. Why? So that you can be where I am and I can be where you are. We can be together. Why? He loves us. He loves us. God has always loved his people. In the Garden of Eden, there he was walking with Adam and Eve. He longed for that relationship. He loved them. Immediately after their choice of sin, what did God do? His love moved him to provide a sacrifice and to give the promise of a future redeemer. And then when the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, what did God do? I want to be with my people. I want to be with my people. So build me a tent and put a holy of holies in there, and my presence will be there, and I will move with my people. Hey guys, do you see that? Why? Because he loves his people. God loves his people. And guess what Revelation 21 says is going to be the crowning thing that's going to be in heaven. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. God himself shall be with them. Is that by chance it says with them? No. Why is it that way? I believe one of the main reasons, because he loves being with his people. He loves his people. And when you love someone, you want to be with them. Wow. This little story about Zacchaeus that I've known all my life really speaks to me in some real fresh ways. Well, sure enough, Jesus goes home with Zacchaeus, and maybe that's on our next slide. And he has this relationship now with the Lord. And here's the last thing I want to point out to you. This is something. What happened to old Zacchaeus? Somebody said this. You know that a man that's a thief has gotten saved when he stops stealing? Is that when you know that he's gotten saved? No, not really. It's when he starts giving. He not only stops stealing, but he starts giving. And guess what Zacchaeus does? You know the story. He tells the Lord, who now has just drawn him to himself in love, and he makes some powerful statements, doesn't he? He says this. Let's move to the next slide. He said, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Well, the Bible's already told us he was a rich man, so he had a lot of goods. But he was so moved by the mercy and compassion of God in his life, he said, Lord, I'm going to give half of everything I have. I'm going to give it to the poor. And then this next statement is so convicting. He says, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Hunter, I really stole $20 from you. I robbed you of $20. That's right. And I took 20 of it and put it in my pocket, didn't I? Hey, that wasn't in the script, buddy, okay? You're not supposed to say things like that. I'm the speaker now. You're not the speaker, okay? All right, now, so Zacchaeus says after he meets the Lord, hey, if I've taken anything from anyone, I'm going to give it to them fourfold. That would mean I would need to give back to you, Hunter, how many dollars? If I took 20 from you and I'm going to give you back four times that much, four times 20 is what? You're right. I'm going to give you $80 back just because of what the Lord's done in my heart. He's changed me, and now I want to do more than what just give you back what I stole from you. I want to give you $80. And I'm sorry, I don't have $80 on me right now tonight, okay? So the illustration falls apart right there, okay? All right. Thank you, Hunter. And, boy, this comes right down to where we live now, doesn't it, brothers and sisters in Christ? You know? The Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts, he said, herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense towards man and towards God. Paul said, this is kind of like a guiding light for me in life. He says, I always want to make sure my conscience is clear with God, and I want to make sure my conscience is clear with people. And that's where we land tonight. Right now, tonight, as you look at your heart and as I look at mine, can we say joyfully and just without any hesitation, man, there's nothing between me and God right now. There's nothing in my conscience between me and the Lord. And how about can we just that quickly and joyfully and by His grace say, as to my best of my knowledge, there's nothing between me and another person right now. There's nothing between me and another person where I need to make something right. You know, when the Lord really gets a hold of our heart, He gives us a desire to be right with Him and right with others, doesn't He? He does. He sure does. All right. Well, boys and girls, thank you for being quiet, for listening, for participating early on. Hunter, thank you for your help. All right. I appreciate it very much. And they've got some special things in the gym for all of our families, the kiddos. Pardon? What's that? Two of them. That's right. Two bounce houses back there, okay, for you to enjoy. But before we go, I'm going to ask Brother Donnie Wilson, would you come? Donnie, you've got some kiddos in our church here, and we're grateful for you guys. So if you would close us out in prayer, okay?